right, let me ask you a question. Who knows what a white elephant gift is? Anybody ever received a white elephant gift? White elephant gift, for those of you that may not know, refers to an extravagant, impractical gift that cannot be easily disposed of. It's usually done at a white elephant gift party, or I think it's called a Yankee gift party, and I forget, there's something else, but the phrase white elephant is reported to come from the historical practice of the king of Siam, now Thailand, who would give rare albino elephants to the courtiers who had displeased him, so that they may be ruined by the animal's upkeep costs. Because nobody's going to give away an albino elephant, let alone an albino elephant that was given to you by the king. So thus, it's very hard to get rid of a white elephant gift. So if you receive a white elephant gift, what do you do? Oh, how very lovely. Oh, you really shouldn't have. Meanwhile, you're looking at it thinking, what the heck is this? And what the heck am I going to take and I'm going to do with this? Now, there's a show that used to be on called The Big Bang Theory, and I will admit, I never watched it, but I watched the clips on YouTube. And I watched a clip about after Sheldon, the King of the Geeks, gets engaged to Amy Farrah Fowler, a neurobiologist, and their best friends, Leonard and Penny, who are married at this point, give them an engagement gift. And it is a clear crystal, about yay long. And Sheldon and Penny can't figure out what the heck it is. So Sheldon goes over with a thank you, thank you very much for the gift, and he's trying to get out of them what is it for, and they can't. And after Sheldon leaves, Leonard looks at Penny and says, they have no idea what that is. And Penny says, yeah, this is going to be fun. Of course, in the end, it turns around on them because they Sheldon and Amy go on kind of a treasure hunt or whatever, and they end up back at the coffee bar where they met. They're in the lost and found. They find a heart-shaped locket. Oh, this must be what the gift is. Truthfully, I think it was a wine stopper. Putting it open. So today is Pentecost. It's the birthday of the church. Well, what are some of the things that happen on Earth as well? You get treats, which, if you so choose, you can have a cookie, or maybe two. Except for Glenn and Ken, you don't get any. So, there's a celebration. There is usually food. And what else is there? Presents. When I was a little kid, I loved my birthday because I got presents, and I loved it because it was 6 days before Christmas, so I got two sets of gifts within a week. Now, usually for a birthday party, it is the guests that bring the presents for whoever is celebrating their birthday. Now, at this birthday celebration, it's kind of backwards. Because it's the birthday boy, if you will, God himself, that is bringing the gifts to the disciples. And that gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm pretty sure that the disciples kind of reacted to this kind of like getting a white elephant gift. Oh, how lovely. Oh, God shouldn't have. What the heck am I going to do with this? Well, that's okay. Now, obviously, if you read this, there is a high sense of drama to this story. You've got the disciples that are cowering in this house. And by the way, it's not only just the disciples, it's other followers of Jesus that are in the house as well. So they're cowering because they're afraid that the Romans are going to come busting down the door, arrest them, and haul them off to prison. Remember, this is not long after the crucifixion and the resurrection. So they're cowering, and all of a sudden, there's this great wind that blows through the house. Anybody out in the thunderstorm yesterday? This wind blows through the house, opening shutters, knocking open the doors. And then all of a sudden, you got flames appearing above the people in the house. And all of a sudden, you have all of these people that are suddenly speaking languages that they know nothing about. They've never spoken before. They've probably heard it, but they've never spoken it. Now think about the crowd outside, just going about their daily business, and all of a sudden, they hear this mighty wind blow. They see the window shutters fly open. They see the doors fly open. Probably some people got tossed out the doors, out into the street. And then they hear these people in the house start speaking their own native tongues. Aren't these people Galileans? Why are they speaking like this? And don't worry about it, they're just drunk. Which seems that, if you think about it, that seems like a weird response. Why would getting drunk allow you to speak another language? Now, it may seem like the gift that was given on Pentecost could be sort of a white elephant gift. You don't really know what the heck are you going to do with the Holy Spirit. But it's okay that the disciples, and to a certain extent we today, don't think about the Holy Spirit and what can we do with it? Truth of the matter is, we don't need to really know what to do with it, because the one who gave it knows how we're going to use it. He knows that we need this gift in order to do what we are asked to do. It is not a meaningless gift. Yes, you could say it's extravagant, but it's not meaningless. It has a meaning. It is meaningful. So what exactly is the gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, perhaps it is the gift of excitement and of energy. Let's face it, church life can sometimes be a little bit heavy and a little bit
boring.
You know, in a lot of churches, there's talk about the finances, about stewardship, about what kind of outreach programs should we have. And, you know, listening to a guy drone on for 15, 20, 25 minutes every Sunday, I'm trying not to fall asleep. And don't anybody try to deny that fact. We all, at one time or another, have fallen asleep during service. Okay, I'll raise my hand without hesitation. Kind of as a side note, when Ethan was first born, we were attending First Christian Church of Newcastle, Delaware. And Ethan, you know, was feisty, and always before the sermon, he'd fall asleep on my shoulder. Which I always let the pastor know, you know, you put Ethan to sleep. So perhaps this gift of the Holy Spirit is supposed to bring excitement. It's supposed to bring energy to the church life. And in fact, I would say yes, part of the reason for the gift is to give us energy, to give us excitement about being the church, about being here, worshiping God, and to give us energy and excitement to go beyond these walls. But if that's all that we think that this gift is, I think we are missing something greater. It's interesting, if you look at the scripture before this and the scripture after this, the scripture before this talks about the replacement of Judas. Because obviously, you know, Judas is no longer a disciple. So they needed to replace him. If you look after the scripture after this, you see that it is about the breaking of bread, about the training of apostles, about taking care of the poor, the downtrodden, and going out into the world. So you got this story that is, in essence, sandwiched in between electing church officers and going out and starting programs of Christian education and outreach. So the greater gift, I think, of the Holy Spirit is that it is the gift of something to say. The Holy Spirit, that gift, is the gift of having something to say. Something to say to a world, a word to the poor, to the sick, to the downtrodden, to the people worn down by the world, people that are lost. Sometimes in the literal sense, more just being lost in life and being adrift. At Pentecost, the church went from being silent to speaking. Not just speaking words, but also speaking with action. Now, we all have different gifts. We all know this. Some people are able, not everybody is able to stand before a church, large or small, is not able to stand on a street corner and proclaim the word of God. But we are all called to speak, and some of us speak quietly and speak sometimes not at all. One of my favorite quotes is, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." It's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, to St. Augustine. No one really knows, but what's important is what that is saying. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Did Jesus use words all the time? Nope. He didn't. Sometimes he used actions. The Holy Spirit not only gives us words to say, and I'm sure a lot of people can can testify to being in a situation, not knowing what to say, and all of a sudden you know the right words to say. But it also is there to direct us to take action. How many of us have been going about our daily routine? Somebody or a couple people catch our eyes, and you hear that little voice in your head, I want you to go talk to them. I want you to see what is going on. I don't necessarily want you to speak. I want you to be present. I want you to see what's going on. I want you to offer whatever assistance that you can to that person, whether it is a kind word or a kind gesture. One time, Holly and I were coming home from Roanoke, and we were a couple of miles from exit 118, where Virginia's Tech is. And we were behind this minivan, and all of a sudden, his driver rear tire blew and went flat. And he moved to the side of the road, and I moved to the side of the road with him. Well, little did I know, in that van was a college student who had absolutely no idea how to take and change a tire. So, me being me, I changed the tire, but I think more importantly, I taught him how to change a tire. Now, at least to me, I think the vast majority of us, changing a tire is no big deal. The hardest part is to get those stupid lug nuts off sometimes. Many, many years ago, after Holly and I had been married for a couple of years, my father-in-law had a side business as a chimney sweep. So on Saturdays, he and I would go out and we'd do things. And on the way back, we stopped at a convenience store called Busy Bee. I don't know if anybody's heard of Busy Bee convenience stores. You have? Good for you. And we're there. And there's a young man with the hood of his car up, sitting at one of the picnic tables, looking a little bit worried and a little bit perplexed. And my father-in-law and I, you know, just being the people that we are, hey, what's going on? Well, I've got a cracked hose. I'm not quite sure what to do about it. Well, good thing for him, the crack was like right off of where it went on to whatever it was. So out came my pocket knife, cut it off, put it back on, good as new. Oh, thank you. I didn't know what I was going to do. Well, it's a good thing that God knew what he was going to do. Preach the gospel at all times. And if necessary, use words. We can all do that. We can all do that. So the gift at Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, does indeed bring excitement, and it does bring energy into the church, but it also gives the church some very important things to say. The good news of Jesus Christ. The news that people are not alone. There's a lot of lonely people today. A lot of people that think I am the only person that is suffering from whatever the affliction or the issue. And that's not true. The news that people deserve to be helped no matter what their station in life might be. It is the gift of a call to action for we as the church to claim because we are followers of Jesus Christ.